I'm talking today with Professor Paul Miles, who is Director of Anaesthesia and Perioperative Medicine here at the Alfred Hospital and also at Monash Uni, and Sophie Wallace, who's the Research Manager of Anaesthesia Research here at Alfred Health. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have co-authored a piece for our 4th of April issue of the MJA about the reporting of serious adverse events in Phase 4 clinical trials. Why did you decide to write this piece? And what is the current state of play that made you want to write it?
Well, I think to set the scene, we and many of my collaborators do large independent clinical trials. And what we're trying to do is test the effectiveness or the safety of commonly used drugs or interventions that are already licensed for use in Australia and around the world. And they're the sort of studies that are not being done by drug companies because they're out of patent and there's no particular profit motive. But we know that in our clinical practice that many of these drugs or techniques could be particularly valuable or in fact might not be effective or helpful or have some side effects that we feel that have not been fully investigated in the past. So these are what we would call as investigator-initiated trials, and they're also often labelled as public good research. So there's no direct profit value in them, but there's certainly value for the health system and there's certainly value for the funders of healthcare, including, of course, the Australian government. Now, the thing about these sorts of studies is they don't get typically funded with tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. They are low-cost studies. We try and seek funding from research agencies such as the National Health and Medical Research Council, and they are also looking for value for money, and they will fund important studies, but again, they really are bare bones funding. Now, for us to do these sort of studies, we really have to therefore design simple, pragmatic studies where we only fund what's absolutely essential to answer the question that we have. And for that reason, we haven't got the staff or infrastructure or investment value to collect all sorts of data. In healthcare agencies such as the Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, and the FDA in the US and other agencies in Europe, they have very strict and important requirements about drug studies because they need to look for any unexpected or expected side effects, and they're also looking, of course, for cost effectiveness, but they appreciate that drug company-sponsored studies may have some vested interests that might not pick up such things. Our studies, the investigator-initiated studies, are independent, typically got no profit motive, are looking for public good. So therefore, we can't go to the, shouldn't be expected to, and nor can we go to the extent of collecting all patient safety information, because in fact, it would effectively drown out the capacity to do this sort of research. And there are agencies around the world that guide standards for these research, but they're typically designed for the industry-initiated study sector. And we've argued in this paper that we need to apply different standards and, in many cases, more lax standards when, in fact, it's public good investigator-initiated research.
So, presumably, when you're doing a Phase 4 trial, it's post-marketing, there's information available on the drugs already that presumably reports on expected adverse events, serious adverse events. So why would you need to recollect that data, in a sense, or re-report that data?
So that's actually part of our argument. We are investigating drugs that have already been licensed for use, are already being used in clinical practice, and therefore a lot of the safety information is already known. We're designing the study to ask some specific questions, such as a particular type of side effect, which might be a cardiovascular event or something similar, or it might be relate to effectiveness in real-world practice rather than, if you like, an academic or select setting. Yeah. And so we therefore would argue that we don't need to recollect the sort of information that's already known, but only collect unexpected or serious information.
What makes a serious adverse event unexpected?
Basically, the universal definition of an adverse event is any untoward medical occurrence in a patient that's administered a medicinal product and which does not necessarily have a causal relationship with the treatment under investigation. So an AE can be therefore unfavourable or unintended sign, symptom or disease temporarily associated with the use of a medicinal product. A serious adverse event is an adverse event that is serious and should be reported if it results in death, is life-threatening, requires inpatient hospitalisation, or results in prolongation of existing hospitalisation. And a serious unexpected adverse reaction is an adverse event with possible relationship to the study drug, device or procedure. These are universal definitions that are used for all phases of clinical trials.
Presumably when you're designing a trial, you have some set points, set safety points anyway, as part of the design. So does that mitigate your argument as well, that you don't need to...
Yes, that's crucial to, again, to our paper, where we argue that in fact, because in most cases the more serious of these adverse events are already known to have occurred, or at least are suspected of being so, and it's often the reason why we're doing the study, and therefore because we're measuring this information as part of the study design, it is unnecessary to also duplicate and report adverse events independent of that, because in fact in our research design we have proper scientific methods, complete data capture, often blinding, often random assignment to groups, yep. And we have a data and safety monitoring committee who's overseeing that information. Whereas in standard adverse event reporting, where individual cases or events are reported, say, to an ethics committee or an agency, they in fact are getting a single case report. They can't and don't collate the information, and they mostly don't know whether the patient was in the placebo group or the active treatment group. And therefore, it's of very little value scientifically and in fact for patient safety reasons to do that or duplicate that sort of reporting when in fact we're collecting higher quality data,
yeah,
in the study that we will collate, we will analyse and report on eventually. Both Sophie Wallace and I often tear our hair out having to deal with what I might label as partly at least bureaucracy of little true scientific value,
yeah,
that can in fact consume our resources and time, and also that of members of ethics committees and healthcare agencies who are getting a lot of low-level information for which they can do little about. And what we need to do is reassure them that we're collecting the relevant information, that we've got built-in safety features in the protocol, and most particularly an independent data and safety monitoring committee who will oversee the rights and safety of the participants in the study, as well as the importance of the information that's being generated.
So what's the next step to getting this change made?
Well, in Australia, the NHMRC has important regulations around the conduct of research. They also would advise on safety reporting in studies. And in conjunction with the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which have got separate responsibilities, would put forward guidelines and documents about drug reporting in clinical practice and also in clinical research. And I guess what we're trying to do is align that better, make it clear about who's got responsibilities in certain circumstances, and when in fact there is certain features in a study design that in fact that removes the additional responsibility of reporting through either the TGA or ethics committees and so on.
Have you had that conversation with the TGA and... or are you hoping this will start the conversation?
Well, this paper's designed very much to start the conversation and get people, I think, all on the same page.
Yeah.
I think many researchers around Australia and around the world would share our view.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm sure a large majority would. I think many people on ethics committees would share our view because, in fact, you know, we're all wanting the same thing, that is good quality, safe,
yeah,
research practices. And I think if there's, I think, a consensus view in the research community and the ethics community and drug safety community, then in fact I'm sure the NHMRC would embrace those recommendations. And of course, everyone's a winner.
The paper was more to bring Australia up to the same standard as Europe. So in Europe and the US, they have four phase four trials. They have more guidance on the fact that if any adverse event has been seen previously,
mm,
in an investigator's brochure or in the earlier phase trials, it's not reportable because it's not an unknown adverse event. It's an adverse event we know about, so it shouldn't be reported. Also knowing, putting at the serious adverse events as part of your data collection routinely and mandate it in these trials so that we do have this data that everyone's collecting exactly the same and it can be reviewed for the safety aspects.
It is a slightly political issue in the sense of where medical research is heading and particularly drug studies. I think many people would appreciate that the overwhelming volume of research with drug development studies comes from pharmaceutical companies, as it should, and that's where new discoveries are made and of course we can offer new treatments in the future. They are driven both by scientific inquiry and at least in part by with a profit motive. If the administrative burden of doing drug studies is too great, it will stop or at least stifle independent investigator-initiated study. And these are equally important in our health system. There is no doubt in my mind that there are many drugs available to us here and now that have some unproven benefits that we can use in other areas of medicine. Similarly, there are many drugs, some of which are quite expensive, that are probably not cost-effective and perhaps should be removed from our practice. And unless we do these phase four post-marketing studies in real-world practice, particularly in the Australian setting, we can't make the advances we need. And that's got to come from independent investigator-initiated researchers. And for us to do that research, it has to be as of less burden as possible.
Yeah. Thank you both for your time.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.